Acts chapter 10. Let's pray. Holy Ghost, I worship you. I thank you that you are God and you're today, and we walk with you by saying words, and that we have the opportunity to fulfill everything that you've called us to do in this earth. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Acts chapter 10, this is going to be good. I hope you're excited about it. Acts chapter 10, and let's look at verse 34. Then who?
Peter.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said. Is this important?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in the Bible, and Peter said it. One of the original apostles. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Is this true?
Yes.
Peter said, of a truth, right? Mm-hmm. This is a truth. That he perceived that God is no respecter of persons, mean if what he'll do for one, he'll do for another. Does that make you happy?
Yes.
Makes me happy, because then I don't have to go, well, look at me, I'm so miserable, you know, and look at you, you're so great, right? We're all on the same playing field. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, verse 35, but in every nation. Does that matter? Yeah, because you could be in a different, you could be just an, you know, because they're coming from the standpoint of an Israelite, right? He said, oh, well, God will bless Israelites if they worship him and work righteousness. But no, he's saying this, this will work anywhere for anybody. Amen. Say anywhere,
anywhere
for anybody.
Anywhere.
So, in every nation, he that fears him. And we know that part of fearing, that it does include other things, but part of fearing God is to worship him. It's one of the main functions of the word fear, is you worship him, you worship God. Him who? God the Holy Ghost. And works righteousness. Say and.
And
works righteousness. So you got to worship God and work righteousness, and then you're accepted with him. So what if, when you wake up in the morning, right? Everybody does that, right? Mm-hmm. Who has woken up in the morning, right? You wake up in the morning, and how do you know? How do you know that you're anything? Am I a believer? What am I? Am I saved? What's going on? What am I? Say, what am I?
What am I?
You ever ask yourself that? Ask her, well, wonder what's going on. Here you wake up in the morning. There you are. You just open your eyes. How do you know that you're anything? Especially what your place is in the kingdom of God, or just whatever's going on. You know? How do you know that you're anything? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 12, you don't have to turn there, Matthew 12, 33, he said, a tree is known by its fruit. Right? So if you don't know anything, well, I mean, what am I? You wake up in the morning, what am I? And you look, you could look, if you had some fruit on you, you'd be able to look out and say, hell, I'm an orange tree. Are you here?
Yes.
So make more sense as we go along here. What am I? And I'm not necessarily talking about, are you saved? Because a lot of people, especially in Baptist circles, they'll say, well, how do I know I'm saved? There are things that have to do with that. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what am I, who am I, and how do I know that I am this thing? Right? Well, number one here, it says in verse 35, but in every nation he that fears him or worships him. Say worships him.
Worships him.
So the number one thing, when you open your eyes to establish who you are, you should be a worshiper of God. Are you here?
Yes.
Do believers worship God?
Yes.
Well, they should. A lot of them might not. A lot of them might not know how to worship God. A lot of them might not recognize that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth, and therefore they don't worship him. Mm-hmm. You understand that? But when you open your eyes to establish, when you wake up, if you are anything at all or not, you should open your eyes as a believer and say, I worship you, God. I worship you, living God, and therefore I worship you, Holy Ghost. What are you doing? You're establishing that you are something, right? A lot of people who don't worship God, when they wake up, what are they in the kingdom of God? They aren't anything, because they're not established in the fact that the first thing a believer should do is acknowledge God and worship Him. Are you here?
Yes.
Believers worship God. Now, a lot of people wake up in the morning and then they go about their day, and you couldn't recognize them from anybody else. They just do the same thing. They go from one thing to the next to the next. And what good is it? What good are they? They didn't even worship God. They didn't get established the right, say established.
Established.
They didn't get established the right way. Believers worship God. You understand that? Hebrews 11:6. I guess you could turn there if you want. It says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He rewards you for seeking Him. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm talking about what you are when you wake up in the morning. You're number one, a worshiper. You should say, I worship you, Holy Ghost. I worship you, God. It establishes you on the right footing. You're not going about your whole day and putting God last, which a majority of people do. Are you here? So according to this, we'll read this verse again. It says, in every nation he that fears Him and works righteousness is accepted with Him. See, now if I do these things, am I on good footing with God? And do I have my rightful place? Am I in the right position if I fear God, worship Him, and then begin working righteousness? When you wake up, you don't know who you are. You open your eyes, you're wondering what's going on. You simply open your mouth and say, I worship you, God. And then you begin to work righteousness, which makes you accepted with Him. Are you here?
Yes.
Now, working righteousness, said fears God and works righteousness is accepted with Him. Well, working righteousness are specific and certain actions that you take. I've woken up in the morning, I've opened my eyes, I wondered who I was, where I was, what's going on, and I said, I worship you, Holy Ghost. And then you begin to work righteousness. Say, work righteousness.
Work righteousness.
Now, that work implies actions. Work implies you're doing something. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
Say, I'm doing something. Exactly. Believers do things that other worldly people don't do. You understand this? Which separates you, say separates.
Separates.
It separates you in God's mind and frankly in the world as a different person going in a different direction. It's who you are. You're a believer. Believers do things. Believers do these things. They work righteousness. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Glory be to God forever. Romans chapter 1, let's look at verse 17. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Are you here?
Yes.
So you open up your eyes and you worship God, and then you have to begin working righteousness. Well, the righteousness of faith, right? Read that again. Here is the righteousness of God. It's living by faith. A lot of people don't live by faith. They just live exactly like the world lives. You couldn't tell them apart for anything. How many of you know this? You'd have to examine them with a fine-tooth comb. What they do, where they go, how they talk, how they live, it's the exact same thing. Well, are they living by faith? No. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That means it can grow. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we're talking about a life of faith. Say a life of faith.
A life of faith.
Your living comes by faith. Your life that you walk comes by faith. Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And we're talking about doing things. What do? When we get up, we worship God, and then we begin to live by faith, right? We start working righteousness, which is from faith to faith. James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word." So the guy who's a believer should be a doer of the word, right? Not a hearer only. But he should be doing something. That's what we're talking about, working righteousness, doing something, righteousness, from faith to faith, to live by faith. Well, the number one righteousness of faith act, or the action that people do to work righteousness, is to say something. Are you here? Now, we've already said, "I worship you, Holy Ghost," but then we got to say something else. Let's look at Psalms 107. Psalms 107. "Let the redeemed of the Lord..." Boy, if I just woke up in the morning and opened up my eyes, you know, and I wondered if I was anything, or what am I, and I worship God, then this says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." What are they going to say? "Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." What is he going to say? "I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Are you here? And that is working the righteousness of faith. That is beginning to live by faith, right? That is working righteousness, which causes us to be accepted by God. So the number one action, you begin to say so. You begin to do your confessions. You wake up in the morning, unless you're like all the other people that aren't believers and they just live their regular lives, right? You wake up in the morning and you worship God, and you know who God is. He's the Holy Ghost, right? And then you should begin saying so. You begin saying your confessions. You do your confessions. What do you mean by confessions? I mean, you have a list of scriptures that talk about who you are, and you say them. Because the just shall live by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're talking about being established in who you are and living the righteousness of faith life. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Well, I didn't think I had to do anything. I just thought I'd, you know, maybe go to church, maybe, every once in a while. And it all just, you know, happened. No? You know, you may die and go to heaven, maybe earlier. But as far as living this life that we're talking about, it doesn't work that way. Psalms 107:2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You have to say it. So we're going to worship God, and we're going to do our confessions. Is this any good? I wake up in the morning, I worship God, and then I do my confessions. It establishes me as who I am. Is this making sense? It's who you are. You are a believer, and believers take certain actions. Believers who live by faith work righteousness. They do certain things that other people don't do. Right? Mm-hmm. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Is this any good? Mm-hmm. Action number two is attend to the word. The first action, obviously, well, that could be number three, I guess, if you're going to include worshiping the Holy Ghost. But the first action really is to begin saying that you're redeemed of the Lord. You're beginning to say your confessions, right?
Yes.
Action number two should be attending to the word. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Things believers do that other people don't do. Well, I haven't been doing it. Well, what does that say? I guess I'll let you answer that question. Things believers do. Proverbs chapter 4. Anyone know where I'm going to go? Verse 20. Proverbs 4 verse 20, my son, attend. Say attend. A believer's attend. Prosper. Believers, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Believers, their action, they should attend to the word. You know, crack open a Bible. Let God speak to you from his word. Are you here? I open my eyes in the morning, I say, I worship you, Holy Ghost. You are God in the earth today. And then I begin walking with him by saying my confessions. Right? You see what's happening here. You're being established in who you are. My son, attend to my words. Verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Does that just happen?
No,
you have to attend. He's saying you attend, right? You attend. Believers do these things. And attending doesn't just mean that you just read the word. Attending means some other things here too that a lot of people frankly aren't doing, so that therefore they can't be where they're supposed to be. They can't be established in what they're called to be established in. So let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, we're talking about attending. We worship God. We begin worship, working righteousness. Now, working righteousness has several things that we do to work the righteousness, and it seems like work sometimes. Doesn't seem like work sometimes to do your confessions. Doesn't seem like work sometimes to crack open your Bible. Well, it'll also seem like work to do the other things of attending. Are you here? Let's look down at verse 25. Well, let's look at verse 23. Hebrews 10 verse 23. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So not only are you going to do your confessions, you're going to hold fast to them without wavering. Does that sound like work? Yeah, that's what believers do. We're working righteousness. We worship God and we work righteousness. That's what you are when you wake up in the morning. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Are you here?
Yes.
It's an action you have to take. It is called attending. People put it way down on the bottom, attending. You need to be attending a fellowship. And what does attend the fellowship mean? You show up. Right? If you're waking up in the morning and you're not who you're supposed to be, if you aren't doing these things. Does this make sense? Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another so much what? The more. Is that underlined in your Bible? You should underline that. Good. The more as you see the day approach. Is the day approaching?
Yes.
So you should be less and less. Is that what should be happening? Less and less you see those people. No, more and more.
Amen.
If you're waking up and living the way you're supposed to live, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort, or the habit, you can look, some translations say that it's a habit, it's become habitual, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day. And how many of you know this? The farther you go in God, the more you need to go in God. Right? The more word you need, the more anointing you need, because you're going to a next level. If you're going backwards, you need less and less. Are you here? Is this exciting? So it doesn't end with attending just to open up your Bible. How many people know believers, supposed believers, that do that? They don't attend anywhere. They're not in a fellowship with other people. They just, well, I'll just read my Bible at home. Are they fulfilling this scripture? Can they go where God needs them to go by just doing that? No. And there's reasons for that. We'll get into that in a second. So it doesn't just end with just reading your Bible. You know, it would be great, I suppose, if people go that far, worship God the Holy Ghost at the beginning of the day and do their confessions and read their Bible. That would be good, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not all the attending. If they read their Bible, if they read their Bible and are going to be a doer of it, then they're going to have to do this verse too. Is that correct?
Yes.
But it doesn't end there with that. That would be attending a Holy Ghost meeting. You understand? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. What should be at the meetings? Who should show up at the meetings? The Holy Ghost should show up at the meetings. The Holy Ghost should be able to say things to you that you couldn't hear on your own. Is this true? Ephesians chapter 4. Did you find it?
Yep.
Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, this is a great message, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man or a mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are you gonna become perfected? Are you gonna become mature if you're just on your own and you're not attending the meetings? Who's in the meetings? Well, the Holy Ghost is in the meetings. Other believers are in the meetings to encourage you in the faith. Say the faith,
okay.
Right? But one of the things that's happening is the ministry gifts are there, and they're gonna speak under the anointing of God, whether you like it or not, and they're gonna say things that might cut you and help you to grow. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yeah.
You know, I am not preaching. If you gotta, you know, I was thinking about this tonight. I was thinking, this message is not meat. This message is milk. This is square one. This is stuff you should be learning in first grade. This is how, I mean, a lot of this stuff you'd learn in a Baptist church. Thank God. You read your Bible every day, right? They read it through once a year, whether they know what's going on or not. Are you here?
Yeah.
But when I'm saying you worship God and you begin, you do your confessions, and then you have to attend to the Word, and attending to the Word means doing the Word. You have to do it. And attending means, if we're going to do this word, you have to go to where the apostles and the prophets, where are they? They should be in your fellowship. And first and foremost, all of those ministry gifts, by the way, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, all of them are preachers. Say, all of them are preachers.
All of them are preachers.
Which means all of them are going to be speaking. Their speaking gift, they're going to be saying things, hopefully under the anointing of God, and it's usually something you need.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, why is God having them talk?
Right?
Right? I didn't want to preach this message. I had another message. But this is the message I had, and this is what I'm going to give. You know, I like to preach meat, meat, meat. Well, you know, this is going to seem like meat to people who aren't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Going to seem like, whoa, I'm just telling you what the Bible's saying. Are you here?
Yes.
That's what preachers do. Romans 10:17 says, you don't have to turn there, says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? Hearing by the Word of God. Hearing the Word. Faith comes so that you can do it. Say, do it. When you hear it, you understand? Romans 10:14 says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, this is fun, isn't it? Acts chapter 4 verse 23. Let's just look at that. You all right with this? Mm-hmm. Well, this wasn't the message I was well, me either. How are you going to be established if you don't do the things that God requires of his people and his believers to do? What's going to end up with them? They're going to come up short. Then they're going to wonder why. Did I tell you? Ephesians 4, let's look at verse 23. Did I say that? Say, sorry. Yeah, Acts chapter 4. Is that better? Okay. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Okay. Who wrote these notes? Acts chapter 4, verse 23. It says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders said unto them. Their own company. Do you have a company? We're not forsaking the fellowship or the gathering together, but more and more you go to your own company. Can you know and understand who your own company is? Second Peter 1:1 says that they obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith. Do you want to see that? You can. 2 Peter. Not making any of this stuff up. I guess I don't know why anyone would. Anyway, 2 Peter chapter 1 and then verse 1. Peter, Simon Peter, remember he was talking earlier. Mm-hmm. He said, they that fear God and work righteousness are accepted with him. 2 Peter. Chapter 1 verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Say like precious faith. Now they've obtained a like faith to other people, remember, in their own company, but it's precious. You would think it wasn't precious if you based it on what some people do or don't do. Is faith precious?
Yes.
Where does faith come?
Here.
By hearing the word. Have you heard the word here in this group that is precious to you?
Yes.
What do you do with precious things? Ignore it? Throw it out? Go, nah, that's not for me. Is that what you say? That's not for me. You know how many people do that? They'll sit right in the meeting and they'll sit there and they'll nod their head, but on the inside they're saying, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. How far are they gonna go? Mm-hmm. They're not hearing, they're not attending to the word, they're not gonna be a doer of the word.
That's right.
Am I an evil man for saying this?
No.
I'm getting this straight out of the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Believers, by their own action, treat the word as if it was valuable or not. That's where the attending is. You know, and I've said this before, it matters a lot what a person who comes to attend is expecting to hear, and whether they're ready to hear or not really affects the person that's preaching, because he's only able to say what could be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Paul even said that, I'm having a hard time saying certain things because people are just babies. Are you here?
Yes.
Believers, by their own action, treat the word. Now, I really, this isn't a fun message, is it? Is it very nice? But it, frankly, this is base stuff. And if people don't do the base stuff, then how are they going to be able to go on?
Right.
He said, let us go on to perfection. Not having to lay again all of these things. I shouldn't have to say these things. But as I woke up this morning, I had a message last night when I went to bed. But as I woke up this morning, I got this one. And I started writing it down. And I knew enough. They're like, well, I like the other message better. But I knew that this one was the one I was gonna say. Now I have to be obedient to what the Spirit of God is telling me. You understand that, right? So believers by their own action treat the word as if it's valuable or if it's worthless. By their own actions. By the actions of the preacher? No. The preacher may say the word and then the people may just ignore it or do their own thing. That means they're treating the word, not just the preacher, but the word, as if it's not valuable to them. Are you here? Is the word valuable? Who are you? You're a believer who believes the word is valuable. It has great value. And you attend to it. Well, I don't need to attend the meetings because I'm a lone wolf. I don't need to hear that. I don't need, you know, the man of God to say anything or speak to me. I don't need that. I'm a lone wolf. Yet you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. You've heard that, right? Wolf in sheep's clothing. You need to be a sheep. You need to be in there where you're being fed by the shepherd. There's a lot of lone wolves out there, but I know. And what's funny is, you know, people go, well, you were out there for, you know, and all the time is I couldn't find my place because God wanted me to start something. Do you understand? There's a difference between somebody who's called and is supposed to start something and is somebody who just doesn't want to be in with other people. Because then, oh, well, they may judge them somehow or based on the word. They can't just get away with whatever they want. There's people out there, they're all over the place. Man, I just don't want to go there. I don't want to hear that. Lone wolf. Say lone wolf.
Lone wolf.
A wolf is not a sheep. They're trying to be a sheep, but they're a wolf. Are you getting this? Those people, listen, those people are never grounded and they're never established and they just go from place to place, from year to year, and they never really grow up. They get a lot of information, they think they know a lot of stuff, but they just get weird. You think anybody online needs to hear this message?
Yeah.
Yeah. Believers worship God. You understand this? Is this too difficult? Believers worship God. Believers say so. They say they're redeemed of the Lord. They say things that are in agreement with God, the one they're worshiping, and then they attend to the word, which also includes attending the meetings and growing. Are you here? And they give. They're givers. Believers give. Do you know this? This is so elementary. You worship God, you say, speak in agreement with Him, you attend the meetings, and you give. That's what believers do. That's how we roll, man. That's how it works. Is this fun yet? Well, I don't think so. Well, anyway, so they give. Let's look at 1 John. Some people will be happy that I went here. 1 John, chapter 3. As we're talking about, you know, you wake up in the morning, what do? You start living the life of faith, the righteousness of faith. You're supposed to be a believer, but you look at people's lives and they look exactly like everybody else. You couldn't tell the difference because none of this is happening. Mm-hmm. Brother, you sound mad. I'm not mad. I'm just trying to get across these points. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Well, here's the thing. When we talked about it, I said this really wasn't a message about salvation. It's about who you are in the earth. Right? Mm-hmm. But here it says, like, we can know that we passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I don't know if you remember it all before you got born again or saved. You weren't really in love with the brethren, were you? You kind of didn't like them. They were annoying, right? But now, once you passed from death into life, you love the brethren. Well, if you love them, you want to be around them. John 3:16, what's that say? God so loved the world that he did something. He was a doer of the word. What did he do? He gave. Giving is part of what believers do. It's in, they're wired into it right from the very get-go. You know, you pass from death to life, you begin to give. Because love, frankly, giving is the highest expression of love. How can you say that? God so loved, would God be the highest expression of love?
Yes.
God so loved, he gave. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
Am I wrong in saying that believers give? Am I wrong in saying believers should be confessing the word and saying, am I wrong in saying the believers should be attending to the word and to the meetings and not forsaking the fellowship? Are you here?
Yes.
And if you increase, think of this, if you increase in all of those things, what happens to you? All of those things I've said, worshiping God, the working righteousness, right? Mm-hmm. The giving, the attending, what happens to that person? They grow quickly, they get strong. If they back off of it, what happens? Not so much. Attending the word. Ready to hear, ready to give. You know, you're just talking that way because you're the preacher. I would have been on the other side of it, and I'm ready. I wouldn't go to a meeting without my offering. I wouldn't go to the meeting without being ready to give and ready to hear. And I knew the effect it had. A lot of times the preacher would stand right in front of me and say everything I needed to hear. Why? Because I was there, I was ready to give, and I was ready to hear. I was attending. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Philippians chapter 4. Yeah, I don't want to hear it. That's not for me. Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 15. So we're talking about attending, right? We're talking about attending meetings. Why would we attend a meeting? Because we'd be able to hear some things that God would say to us. Is that what we want? God to say things to us? Yes, because we're believers. This is fundamentally basic. Verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, except ye only. Mm-hmm. Say giving and receiving.
Giving and receiving.
Now, I've experienced this even recently. I've had some ministers that I've felt led to send donations to, send some offerings to, right? And as I did that, and after that occurred, the things they say began to minister to me more than it did before. You understand?
Yeah.
Because I was giving and receiving. It's part of the way the word works. When you give, say give.
Yeah.
Giving is what believers do. They give and then they receive. What are they receiving? They're receiving the word. They're receiving specific anointings that come on them. Do you understand? No church communicated with Paul except the Philippians concerning giving and receiving. Go back to chapter 1. What were they receiving? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 17. Oh, let's see here. That's not where. Okay, 7. Sorry. Who put that one in there? Philippians chapter 1 verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Say partakers, partakers of Paul's grace. What was Paul's number one grace, do you suppose? Speaking the word. Paul was able to speak things to them because they were partakers of his grace, and it came through them giving and being there. Do you understand? Partakers of my grace. Giving helps you to open up the doors that were closed to you, your ears, your door ears. Why people, when they don't give, they can't hear, and they go, well, what's the value of it? There's no value in it, because you didn't put value in it. You don't value it above other things. In fact, your value is way low. In fact, anything else that comes along, value's low. Are you here? Well, his number one grace, I'm almost done here. His number one grace, Paul's number one grace, as well as any other ministry gift, is speaking under the anointing of God. Is there value to that?
Yes.
Does giving increase that? Mm-hmm. Yes. So if you really valued it, you would be a giver. Is this any good yet? Matthew chapter 6. Can you see how this is very, very basic stuff? This is not complex. This is not high level. This is just simply being a doer of the word, being a hearer and a doer. Matthew chapter 6. It in red in your Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much the whole thing. Matthew chapter 6, let's look at verse 33. But seek ye. Now, who's the ye talking to here?
Me.
It should be you, the one attending to the word, the one that opened their eyes and said, I worship you, Holy Ghost, and began to do what? Began to confess the word and attend to his word. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
Living the righteousness of faith, working it. Say working it.
Working.
But seek ye second, first the kingdom of God and his what?
Righteousness
again. Working the righteousness of faith. You seek his kingdom first. First implies that it is the biggest priority, it is the highest priority. Say, it is
the
highest priority. What? God in his word. You woke up in the morning and worshiped God. His word should be the highest priority. Therefore, it should be a priority to hear what the man of God who is with you and over you is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Is this any good? This is going to feel a lot better afterwards, because you're going to be able to wake up in the morning and know you're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this good? None of these should be last on your list. All of these things that we talked about, when you wake up in the morning, you worship God, right? And the word, and you're confessing the word, and you're attending. Say attending.
Attending.
None of these things should be last on your list, according to the word. What am I supposed to preach? Something else? I don't think so. First, seek ye, seek ye. Ye first.
Mm-hmm.
Say ye first.
Ye first.
What is first? Doesn't mean second. It doesn't mean afterwards. It doesn't mean at the end, if you have time. Does it?
No.
Is this just basic Bible? This is just Jesus telling people in the Beatitudes here. Seek ye first. That's how it works. If you don't do it first, then it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. None of these things should be last on your list. None of these things should even be second on your list. According to the word, seek ye first. I'll do it after. I'll do it after I do all this other stuff. You know what that makes you? It makes you just like the world. That's why you look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world. Are you here? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like this most. Sometimes you need these messages. It is the combination of all these things that I've been talking about this evening, right? Worshiping God. Have I preached on that here? Mm-hmm. How do you worship the Holy Ghost? You open your mouth and you say, I worship you, Holy Ghost. It's the saying, right? Mm-hmm. Then you do your confession lists. It's saying, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it's the attending. The attending to the word and attending to the meetings and being a part of what God's doing. Are you here?
Yes.
It's the worship, the saying, the attending, and the giving. Right? Mm-hmm. All of these things. Not one of them's unimportant or less important. All of these things, the combination is what makes you healthy and stable and productive, and it's who you are. Say, it's who I am.
It's who I am.
It's how I do things.
How I do things.
Right? Well, if you don't do it, then it's not who you are. You're imagining that you're something that you aren't. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. The worshiping, the saying, the attending, the giving. These are actions. These are doing the word. This is what makes you established, healthy, stable, and productive in the kingdom of God. You leave out any one of those things, your productivity decreases, your stability decreases, your health will eventually decrease. Now, I don't want you to say that. I don't have to say it. These are the simple fundamental. The fundamental things you have to do to be a believer in the earth and to walk with God. When you open up your eyes in the morning, you need to establish that this is who you are. Let me pray for you. Holy Ghost, I pray for these people. I ask you to establish them in these things that I've spoken under the anointing today, and perk up their ears so that they can hear and know how they should change and how they should walk with you and make corrections, that they would not be falling back, will be able to come right to the front and be blessed and favored by the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.